It's now time for Shrink Wrap. I have Robin Grace in the KHNS studio. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Sherry. Nice windy day.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, very windy. Happy August 1st.
Happy August 1st.
Yeah.
I guess now I'm thinking I should say from the get-go that this is going to be the last Shrink Wrap for a while. Because my family is relocating to Oregon, and we'll be back in the summer times and other times possibly. But for now, that's where we'll be. And so let's get into the wrap.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about this being a small town and some qualities that are unique for all of us here. And, actually I was thinking about it following the suicide that occurred last week, mm-hmm. and other traumas that have happened here that happen ongoing as they do elsewhere. And although the suicide rate in Alaska is way up there, I think it's one of the highest in
really?
The country. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not getting into at the moment all of the reasons for that, but being in a small town when trauma occurs, death in the family, a loss, even the loss of a community member moving on. People are affected by
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide, accidents, violence, the whole range of traumatic experience. What's unique to the small town is not so much that these things happen, but that it's inescapable. It's in our face. You might interface or interact with someone who is providing a service. They're working in grocery or the bank or anywhere on the ferry, and you know that something has affected their life, even if you don't know them. So it's very upfront and personal. And what happens is we have some unique opportunities. One is we can be acknowledging and sympathetic and gentle and giving in this small town,
mm-hmm.
whether responding to someone's loss or tragedy or trauma, or just ordinarily speaking, just in our day-to-day interactions. So there's a lot of room for acknowledgement, and we can talk more about that.
Mm-hmm.
The other point I wanted to make is that, you're impacted, as I said, because you're, first of all, it's inescapable. You're here, you're going to interact with people who things have happened for or to, and your past unresolved issues, trauma, even if you didn't experience anything on the scale near something like a suicide in the family, but the ordinary traumas of life that we haven't all worked through can get triggered. So this is a place, this is a population that is sprinkled often with intense stuff
mm-hmm.
to people who we know or know of. And that's different than if you live in a much larger place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, that doesn't mean that it's an unhealthy or terrible place to be. On the contrary,
on
we
the
love
contrary.
Haines.
Yes.
But just to say that, just so that you can recognize why, let's say, when you're facing someone whose relative has passed away, or if someone has gone through something like a suicide and maybe you work closely with them, why suddenly you're feeling depressed or mm-hmm. some measure of hopelessness or some measure of anxiety when you come close to the people who were more directly affected. This is to say, be conscious. You can be conscious of your triggers in those instances and all the other instances we've talked about that happen for
mm-hmm.
people relationally.
Mm-hmm.
So that as human beings, we've all had experience, and if it's of a difficult nature and it hadn't been fully resolved, which we can't fully resolve anything, but lots of us have not necessarily looked at or recognized, we've had to keep things in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we were discouraged, maybe it was safer to just be, to avoid, knowing what happened to you. You know, I am talking about emotional difficulties, families where people tune out.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be physically violent. They may provide a lot for you, but maybe their nature is to be more aloof, more intellectual. And a lot of kids, a lot of adults end up having been affected by that in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you come in contact with a loss or something that hurts someone, The old hurt feelings and the feelings of tension that you've experienced in the past that you didn't resolve mm-hmm. can get triggered. So just know that what we call self states, that is the state that you're in, get triggered. And those states can include anything from, on the positive side, being warm and supportive and interested. If you did come from a place where that was the nature of your environment, you can be in a state of being attuned and invested in loving someone, giving them a loving experience. On the other side of it, you can be preoccupied because your own stuff got triggered. You can be avoidant because it doesn't feel safe to be that connected. And you can be ambivalent. Well, should I say something kind? Oh, maybe I'm going to intrude. You know, all the inner dialogues that dissuade us from connecting. Mm-hmm. So the nature of your early connections can get triggered in the present, as we've been talking about for a year, mm-hmm. when opportunities for connection come up. Mm-hmm. And we end up in a state. We can also be dismissive. We can be dismissive intellectually, like when we overstate things like, oh, you're going to be fine. I've been through that, you know, and you don't give someone the chance to breathe and fully relate where they're at. And in which case, your caring, your listening, your empathy can provide a whole lot for them, a safe landing place, mm-hmm. a feeling of being heard and known and acknowledged. So I guess I think that acknowledgement, the simple act of acknowledgement, is a huge thing for everyone. Just ordinarily to acknowledge to people, wow, that was a great yoga class. You know, I felt like you were so tuned in and that was so helpful. Or, wow, that was a really good sandwich I had last week. We have so much opportunity mm-hmm. to give acknowledgement.
Now, I think those are easy things, like a yoga class or a good sandwich. But when it comes to the things that, you know, the feelings and the emotions, mm-hmm. I mean, there's some people who are very comfortable jumping on the trampoline of emotions. There are those that are not.
Yes.
And I know, like when a sad thing happens, a death, for mm-hmm. example, mm-hmm. you know, it's sometimes people, they don't know what to say to the person who's grieving. So they'll say nothing. Mm-hmm. I've been there.
Yeah.
And it can be interpreted as cold hearted, mm-hmm. you know, but sometimes you just don't know what to say. And I'm learning mm-hmm. just to say, I'm very sorry for your loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
better than not saying anything at all.
Yes. I agree. It's more difficult when it's a more difficult situation. Mm-hmm. But also, I do want to emphasize those acknowledgments for even positive things people don't necessarily think of doing.
What a good sandwich or a good class?
Yeah, huh. Because I experience when I do give that kind of acknowledgement that, you know, the face of the person, you know, lights up. They're so appreciative. And I think that this culture is acknowledgement deprived. I mean, genuine acknowledgement, you know, like, I mean, it happens a lot. We support one another. There's a lot of health in this community and a lot of spirit. But there are some nuances, some places where people don't necessarily think of acknowledging the meaning, not just, hey, thanks, that was really helpful. But, wow, you know, I really appreciated that so much because my printer was dead. And if I didn't get this document out, and I really feel good that you're there for me.
Oh, okay. Right, right. Where it did make a difference. It was emotional. It was
right. And yeah. So to practice sharing what's meaningful for you that mm-hmm. other people do, everything from quiet listening to doing you a real concrete favor, literal favor, mm-hmm. Is really a great thing. You know, I did a shrink wrap almost a year ago, maybe less, where we were talking about this somewhat, and the person I was doing the shrink wrap with got several calls afterwards from people in the community acknowledging them, and it was really interesting. And happened to another person that week, too, that just talking about it really spurred on this movement. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to spur on the movement of, you know, how healthy and nurturing acknowledgement is. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been thinking about in terms of a small town, you know, just to watch that stuff is triggered for you. And, you know, I was also thinking about in a small town, you know, what's unique to a small town since I'm going to be moving to a slightly bigger town, not
slightly.
Giant, but slightly, I like to think of that. Mm-hmm. You know, in a small town, we have a lot of leadership models. We have the borough assembly, you know, and we're much more aware and much more, we could be much more part of these, governances, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And leadership models impact people. Mm-hmm. When there's stuff going on, there's tension. We hear it on the radio. We read about it in the paper. When leaders present themselves in a way that is aggressive or threatening or even very, light and not and ambivalent, that affects the people in the town too. Mm-hmm. You know, it impacts their mood. And when so again, in a small town, leaders have a grand opportunity by the way they relate, whether they're strong-minded and aggressive or whether they're, kind of in the shadows and uncomfortable taking a position. All of that affects all of us because it's in our face. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot in our face that we would do well to take care of ourselves and also to think of the others that you're taking care of. Because if you're a teacher or any position you have in this town, you're in the clinic, you're at KHNS, the way you relate to the public just immediately hits them, right? Mm-hmm. And can have an effect on either side of the spectrum. So I think we have a grand opportunity here to take care, to be thoughtful about that. Because unlike in a bigger place, there's not a lot to roll off. There's not a lot of buffer here.
Yes.
Yeah. So we can use that to our advantage, mm-hmm. I think. And to review what we've been talking about on shrink wrap, we all have states of being. As I said, we're open, we're closed, we're preoccupied, we're dismissive, we're available. And when stressors occur, our level of security gets jarred. And the state that we're in makes us more or less tolerant of being available to help people through stress and even for our own stress. Mm-hmm. And crises can trigger unresolved trauma, loss, and experiences of abuse. Mm-hmm. So then that affects how proactive or how comfortable we're going to be when we're facing our own and then the trauma of others. And even simple relational distress, the normal stressors that occur in families, between partners and kids and parents, as we've talked about, we all have issues around intimacy and being connected in a nice way to our loved ones. Sometimes our self state interrupts the connection, and our tolerance wavers. And this happens when we're going through life changes, in our sexual relationships, when deaths and births occur. Different things happen when we have big projects going on. How well you do with all of these circumstances depends on how you communicate. You may not be in a really great self state to nurture someone, but maybe if you communicate something about that you're not available, but that you understand, you'll be available later. Or wait, something's just affecting me now. I need to take a breath. Really communicating the state you're in when someone needs you. That is the key to a strong and trusting relationship. Mm. Not to be perfect 24/7, but to be honest with where you're at and take responsibility for it.
An awareness.
Yes. And sharing that awareness models for children, growing children.
Of course. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so it models that my parent thinks about how they're feeling and how they're acting and thinking.
I can too.
And that's how children learn how to mentalize. Mentalizing means being flexible in your thinking, considering, she's not looking at me with the biggest, warmest smile right now here in the market that I'm shopping at, but I don't know her intention. I don't know her mind. So I'm not going to assign meaning beyond that I'm feeling a little rocked, and maybe that has to do with me, or maybe I'm needy and she's not available.
What a wise decision.
It could be.
Yes.
So if we really focus on mentalizing, it's flexible when we're thinking flexibly, empathically, and when we realize that we don't know it all. If you start thinking you know it all about where someone's at or something they're going through.
That's dangerous, isn't it?
Yes, you are not mentalizing.
Okay.
And you're being much tighter and more apt to misjudge or misunderstand the meaning. Mm-hmm. And also to remember that the past and the future and the present are all wrapped up in any given moment, so that mentalizing also depends on what happened in the past. Maybe that's influencing what you're thinking is going to happen in the future. That might be occupying your mind.
And kind of coloring your thoughts.
Yes. Yeah. So shadowing your moment in the moment. So mentalizing is flexible. You use all of that information to come to some thought, and then you can still check it out. So that's a very important thing that will actually stretch your tolerance. And tolerance is a huge issue and something that the group who has been involved and focused on nonviolence here in Haines and other spiritual groups and other just good, strong, healthy groups, recreational, yoga, jiu-jitsu, karate, I can go on and on. I don't know all of them. But people are really concerned about tolerance. And to stretch your tolerance and be more available, you want to mentalize. How is the population, the constituents who voted for me, the patients I'm treating, the children I'm working with, how are they all being affected by how I present myself? Ooh, the way I just presented myself, I could see I pushed someone away. Okay, let me rethink. Where was that coming from? Taking that responsibility to do some amount of inventory for yourself, to borrow a term from Alcoholics Anonymous. I know they do inventory to get a sense of who they are. So when we have symptoms, the fallout of difficult past lives like failing relationships, depression, anxiety, substance abuse, alcoholism, obesity, violence. Well, these symptoms occur if we take the moment, some moment to think, something's going on that I'm reacting to. Then maybe with the help of friends, getting into healthy situations like exercise, meaningful experiences that really feed you. And if those don't work, a therapeutic experience where, you know, a trained clinician can be helpful to you. You might even talk to your physician to begin with for some support, or your minister, whomever you trust that's stable and you know that you have a sense, even if you're uncomfortable, that they're caring. They may help lead you to some therapeutic solution.
Where you can safely talk about this, right?
And yes.
And that's where the healing would come from, talking about it.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing, as you talk about something, that how things just come out and you can look at it in a different light and
yes,
dismiss it or just grow from it or stretch, as you were saying.
Yes, and that is really dependent on who you're talking to. Mm-hmm. Is their style of listening open? Are they telling you how to solve it all? Even when you go to see a clinician, make sure after, you know, initial encounter or so, that you're comfortable with them, because everyone's style doesn't match your need. Now, I know we have a small town here, and so unfortunately there aren't a lot of options, but there are some options in the community that you can find at Search or Lynn Cannell Counseling, the private practitioners who advertise in the paper and elsewhere. There's options. So feel around. If something doesn't feel right after a few encounters, it may not just be your so-called resistance to getting better. Mm-hmm. It may be that it's not the right fit. Maybe somebody doesn't work for you, just like a partner you might choose, or friends. And that's another important thing, keeping your eye on who are you relating with. You know, who can give you what? Doesn't mean you have to cast everyone out, but be careful with who you open up to as you start feeling more courageous to do that. Take note of how you're feeling.
That's very good advice.
Yeah, because if you get to the point where you feel open and safe and you speak with someone who isn't available, and they're not just saying, oh, I'm in a state right now, it's just kind of their general tone, you're going to be displeased and frustrated. So that's another thing to look to. And there are a lot of people who have reactions when it comes to dealing with painful stuff, reactions of shame, fear, avoidance.
Anger.
Anger, right? Fear of disclosure in a small town. And if you stay in those spaces and that's all you're resonating, you know, what's in your head, you're going to end up feeling hopeless. And that's where people begin to engage in exit options like drinking and substance abuse and outrageously risky behavior sexually or physically or what have you. So we really need to take account how are we operating? Think about how you're thinking. And if you feel you need to, learn how to stretch your tolerance, not just intellectually. We could talk a lot about philosophically why tolerance and love is good. We all understand that, or we can understand more by reading a book. But a lot of the growth of your tolerance and your expansion of your ability to do that has to do with how you apply yourself, you know, and to recognize, oh, I'm not tolerant here, and ask yourself why you're not, instead of making yourself feel guilty for not being tolerant. Oh, I'm impatient here. I'm losing it with my kid. I just overtalked my friend or my partner because I had a lot going on and I didn't acknowledge it to myself, and I was available when I wasn't available, or whatever your story is. So we're, you know, human beings have a great capacity to do a lot of self-work and work for others. And through shrink wrap, I have had the good fortune of having lots of people in the community asked me to talk about different topics, and I see people have an attraction to thinking about thinking. And I think it's expanding in this community like many other things are. It's a healthy thing to do. So I want to thank everyone out there. I want to thank you, Sherry, and Tim Shields, and all of the DJs who have sat in and gone through skits with me, and all the participants who've had the courage to come up here and play and you know, model relational scenarios and psychoanalyze them with me. You know, it's been a great growth experience and a chance to help the community. And I want to thank everyone and let you know you can go on the archive and listen to Shrink Wraps on KHNS. I want to thank KHNS, the program director, the station manager, the operations director, everyone who has supported Shrink Wrap, and they have, recording it and helping me. My husband, who's been very tolerant, who sometimes has said, oh, that was a good shrink wrap. Once again, you've given the town some version of our biography or autobiography. My stepson, Charlie, who's been tolerant. Anyway, all of you out there, you can go to Shrink Wrap Archives on KHNS. Listen.
That's wrap with an R.
Well, the Shrink Wrap Archives, wrap with an R, is on KHNS.org.
Oh, right, right.
Yep. And if you want to contact me about a shrink wrap issue for the future, because hopefully I'll be back doing it next summer or whenever.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Yeah. You can contact me at shrinkwrap, as you say, with an R, dot wrap at gmail.com. So I guess for me, that's a wrap.
Yeah. And thank you for all you've given to the communities of the Upper Lynn Canal.
Thank you,
Robin Grace. It's a pleasure to know you, and you will be missed.
Thank
with
you.
With an ache in our hearts.
Well, my heart will have all of you in it, and thank you very much.
All righty. We'll see you next summer.
Huh? See you next summer.
Good.
Okay.
Best to you.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Robin Grace. She's a local psychotherapist. She's done a weekly health program. She's shared insights about emotional and psychological well-being with a focus on communication and relationships. She will be missed. Thanks for all she brought to our communities.